I know you're broken hearted, cause the piece you're hoping for is off a scene's apart.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to We Love No Other podcast from IlaniBoard.com. I'm your host, Robert Rosenthal. My guest today is Will Leach. He and I have done this each year, past 5 years or so. Before the tournament, talk some Illinois basketball, what's coming up, what we're looking at here. I want to note before I get to the interview that he sent me his audio recorder from his end, and for some reason I couldn't get it to load, and so, thankfully, always record a backup. I did record a backup file of his audio. It's just through the phone, so it's going to sound a little tinny. At least we have it. I'll just say that. You're probably going to have to turn your volume up a little bit. I'm going to have to turn my volume way down and try to match his, because it sounds like he's talking from across the room, but at least we have our hour-long conversation recorded. So here it is. Here's my conversation with Will Leach. Okay, my guest today is... Should I start with author now? I feel like I should start with author.
I've made the late in life transition. I wouldn't say late in life. I would say approaching the middle of life transition into a... I still run doing all regular sports writing, but yeah, they yes. Let me write.
There we go. Author and sports writer Will Leach is our guest. Graduate of the University of Illinois in 97?
97, as long as you don't count the three-hour correspondence course I had to take to finish my last 3 hours from Los Angeles. The diploma says 98. I always feel like what people I have power over there, and if you see it listed as 98, it's accurate, but I don't know the person to make them change it. And because I insist on 96. I got out of there in 4 years. They paid for 4 years. Yes. We got out of there in 4 years. But officially, because of that 1 3-hour correspondence course, it's actually 98.
I went the full five. So let's see. I started in 91, finished in 96. You started in 94. Is that correct?
93.
Fall 93. Got it.
Yeah, fall 93.
Okay, so the idea today is just to talk Illinois basketball history and this team and where it fits in, and it's March and what we're looking at, what we've been through. So I just kind of want to start with talking about what I just said to you before I hit record, which is it feels like it used to feel, right? Like for some reason, last year was this like, uh-oh. We went from 1 seed to 4 seed to 9 seed. Where's this going? Now we're back up to 4 or 5 in our dreams. If we win the Big Ten tournament, maybe a 3. But, you know, it's a bounce back season. We're 12th in the rankings. We finished 2nd in the Big Ten. It just feels like maybe the 80s did, maybe the early 2000s did. Maybe not to that level, obviously, without the tournament success so far. But it does feel like another era. Like, this feels like we're in another one of those eras where the tournament just happens every year. Do you feel the same? Like, did this season cement that for you? Where are you at with, you know, where we stand era-wise?
I think so. And I would argue the level of difficulty to make an era like this is considerably higher. Yes. As we all saw in the last game at Purdue, like everyone, including Luke Goody, almost pseudo alarmingly. I know he graduated and I understand it, but all of those guys were all setting up to leave. Like, so many of these guys just got here and now are leaving. This is a transfer. Like, to do this in the 80s certainly was impressive for Lou Hinson to do it, but he also could, you know, get Bruce Douglas and have Bruce Douglas for 4 years. Yes. You think of all the things that could have gone wrong. Frankly, I would say almost everything that could have gone wrong for Illinois, transfer and freshman wise, actually went wrong last year, and they still got a 9th seed. Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks to what this era kind of is. Sustainability feels like a weird way to put it, because it's not sustainable. I mean, everybody here is new. I mean, yes. like the idea I'm not the first person to point this out, but like the major difference among many differences, one of the major differences between Illinois and, say, a Michigan or a Ohio State is that Illinois got Hawkins and Shannon to come back. Yes. Rather than transfer or to go pro. And I don't think that's good fortune. I think that speaks to what Underwood's put together, to the idea of this is what stability looks like, is getting the guy that could transfer not to transfer, or the guy could go pro, not go pro, not getting Bruce Douglas and having him stay for 4 years and getting Ephraim Winters or getting Doug Altenberger, which I think is actually makes this era, I wouldn't say more impressive because they haven't had the, you may have, I don't know if you've heard this on any of the discussions of the Illini, they haven't had the tournament success that we would have liked.
I need to look into that.
I think it's really impressive. And so, yeah, it does feel like that to me. It feels more, it's interesting because I think one of the reasons this is so disorienting for a lot of people, I think why, even though things are going so well, people feel vaguely dissatisfied, is it actually, for A, it's the tournament success. But B, I also think that traditionally speaking, Illinois, other than the 80s, since the 80s, since really the Bill Self era, since the end of that 89 Final Illini team, Illinois has either had awesome, transcendent, great, number one teams we'll remember forever, or they've not been there. They've actually not really had that kind of consistent thing where, like, some years, hey, you're going to get lucky and be a four and get hot and get in the Final Four, or you're going to have, and I think that's one of the reasons that the Loyola loss, I'm sorry, I feel like I need the trigger warning before I even say that.
Right. I'll put a sound in post here.
Yeah, just have this, do it like a sound beat of, like, Sister Jean being charming or something. And it's so hard because she's so charming and she's so great and I love her, but also every time I see her,
don't want to see her face.
She came out this year. She made it out for that big game they had late in the year.
Yep.
So I was like, yeah, I'm glad you're doing well, I guess. But anyway, so I think that's the thing that hurts so much about that is we were used to a team like that being the transcendent team that goes to the Final Four.
Yep.
That's the downside to that. The upside to that is the way it generally works are teams like this year's can get hot. Mm-hmm. And teams that you don't necessarily think can get there can make a way forward. I think Underwood's general philosophy is give yourself a puncher's chance every single year. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what he's done. And unfortunately, the Sister Jean year didn't work out. But I do think that Illinois fans aren't used to this. I don't think they're used to having it's been really since the 80s, since it's been consistent like year, where it feels like a team could make a run as opposed to this is the team that's going to make a run like we've traditionally seen.
Yep. And it's, you're right. Like, if we look at our one seeds, 89, we go to the Final Four. 01, we go to Elite Eight, lose to Arizona.
Yeah.
05, we go to the Final Four. So, yes, you know, for that team to not even make the Sweet 16 was this – I think it was especially hard for Illinois fans. Yes.
Yeah, and we're still, I mean, like, listen, it's still a wound. Like, it's why this team, which, listen, there are frustrations to have with this team. They don't have the big win. We'll get into all that. But I think it makes it harder for people to appreciate this team and what they're potentially capable of. Because I think they're capable of doing some pretty impressive stuff, even though we've not seen the big win yet. I think it's clearly, like, you had John Gassaway on and talked about how great the offense was. And I think there have been at least some small defensive strides over the last couple of weeks and since the Minnesota game. And so I think that you can look at this team and you could see what they could do, but I don't think it's unreasonable for an Illinois fan. It's not just that number one team lost to Loyola. It's that, like, I think we're conditioned to, like, we get one of these teams like every 15 years. Yep. I think it's almost on the button, right?
Yep.
And so we get them on every 15 years. So when one doesn't make it, it feels like we're too close to the end of Weber and late Gross era to like feel free of it yet.
Yes.
And it won't happen until they make a run. Unfortunately, and it's making us, I think, miss a pretty cool thing that's happening in front of us for understandable reasons.
Yes, I get it. And I think the other side note to that that fits into that is that we don't have tournament upsets on our resume. Like, beating a higher seed, we have 4-seed Cincinnati when we were 5-seed Illinois beats 4-seed Cincinnati in 04, and we have 9-seed Illinois beats 8-seed UNLV in 11, and that's it.
Yeah.
Every other time, we just go as far as our seed tells us, and then we lose. And so, it would be, like, if we could get to the Sweet 16 and beat a 1 this year, like, it would be the biggest upset for an Illinois team in the tournament history. And everyone has those, except for us. So,
I think it's led to a certain psychology among the fan base, which I do, like, for the record, I think there's a lot of times when people talk about this, they're like, those Illinois fans don't know how good they got it. Mm-hmm. At a certain level, I think intellectually that's true. But you kind of had to watch this for the last 40 yep. years to really kind of understand the almost the defensive crouch that you can kind of find yourself in to feel like you're, it feels like you're always kind of playing defense in the tournament. You're always just trying to avoid the bad loss instead of doing something exciting, right? Like yep. one of the weird things about this year, because the Big Ten has been so down, I find the games much more stressful because the wins don't really get you a lot, but the losses would really, really hurt you.
Yep.
And I think that's why the Purdue game it was a frustrating loss, but it felt like I was much more chill during that game than I was against like Nebraska yep. or Northwestern or Penn State. Penn State, oh my God, I can't even talk. I'm sorry. Yep. I'm sorry. I need another trigger warning.
Another trigger warning. Yeah.
But I think that like, I think Illinois fans have gotten accustomed over the years. I think this year's kind of that microcosm, the idea that a loss hurts you more than a win makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been the case for a while. I think part of it is what you're talking about. They just don't have any tournament upsets. They don't have any, holy cow. I remember that UNLV game. That actually did feel like, holy cow, we're like playing awesome in the tournament right
yep,
now.
Yep.
And it was almost, they looked great that game.
Yep.
They looked downright terrific. The game. Even the Colorado game, which was their last win other than Drexel for a long time, that was an ugly game. The gross win. That was an ugly game. They had a lead and they fell back. Yeah, and they
14
just,
cut to one. Yep.
Yeah, they just kind of stumbled and got it. The last time they've had like a truly woo tournament win was probably that UNLV game, which again was when my wife, right after my wife found out she was pregnant with my son, who's now in middle school. So that's been like a long time. And before that, it was 05.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think it is as the when it comes to the tournament, I think there has not really been. And even the tournament year, even the Final Four year, until Arizona, that was not the most thrilling tournament. They barely were up at Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yep.
They looked okay against Nevada. They were playing Pearl in the Elite in the Sweet 16 game, and that all came with that. There were not even really mm-hmm. moments in that tournament until Arizona, and I think that's worth keeping in mind as well.
And even the Louisville game in the semifinal started poorly. It wasn't probably until Powell's put back dunk of his own three that the crowd came alive and this and that. Yes. Like I've had that thought many times and I hesitate to even share it because it's like, I know it's out there. You know, you see St. Peter's do this. You see, you know, Illinois has a run in them where, you know, it's not just, we had a good team and went as far as our seed took us. It's a, wow, that team got hot at the right time and really beat some good teams. So I'll just keep hoping and praying for it until it happens.
And I think it's hurt. I think it's hurt Underwood too. Like, I'm a regular listener of the Ion College Basketball Podcast with Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander, and that's great. I think it's almost like – I feel like it's almost like the unofficial state of college basketball. Like mm-hmm. that's – they're like the conventional wisdom of college basketball, I would say. And I think they're very smart. I don't mean to lower them. Mm-hmm. But whenever they talk about, like, great coaches, they never mention Underwood. They always respect Underwood. They respect what he's done there. But he never gets to, like, the Painter tier. Or, hell, Holtman was doing better until the last couple of years. He was getting mentioned in that mm-hmm. tier when Underwood doesn't. Even though, I mean, Illinois got the first or second most wins in the Big Ten since Underwood got here, mm-hmm. since they made that turn, I think for this Purdue team is a transcendent potential, like fantastic team, mm-hmm. and Illinois is going to end up being like the obvious only other really top tier team, and a team that gave them a good game twice, including once without Shannon.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that like, but because the tournament hasn't happened, I think that Underwood is seen nationally as, oh yeah, he's a good coach. Mm-hmm. He's a good coach. And I think that underappreciates not just what he's been able to do with Illinois, but as you have mentioned, I thought it was a really good post a couple of weeks ago, just how much he's done with the offense and how different he's made the offense, how many different styles he's done and he's adjusted since he's got here. Yep. I think as you put in the piece a few days ago, how he was really the only hire that everyone got right in 2017 mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. is really incredible. But until it really is just down the tournament. So if Illinois fans are feeling like, oh, we just need a tournament thing, everybody else also feels that about Illinois. Mm-hmm. That's why we don't get that respect. Like, and listen, every fan base feels they're disrespected. They feel like their team is disrespected. I get it. It's across the board. I'm a national writer. It's what happens.
Yes.
Everybody, But Illinois's lack of respect nationwide, I would argue, is completely justified because they haven't done it. And until they do, they're going to be stuck in that. Yeah, they're good. They're better. They're bad. They're doing bad, but they're not obviously to that level. And I think until they do that, then it's going to stay that way.
Yeah, and I think given an honest moment with Underwood, I would be curious to what he would say, maybe even off the record on the tournament. He has to feel the most snake bit of any coach has ever felt. So, I mean, I'm not just talking Illinois here. Like, at Stephen F. Austin, he lost to Notre Dame on, like, a tip-in at the buzzer.
Yeah.
Or else he would have had a big-time tourney win. I think that was to get to the Sweet 16 at Stephen F. Austin.
And that team was fun.
Yes,
was
so very fun. Thomas walk-up team. And then in his 1 year at Oklahoma State, they lost to Michigan in the first round in like a 90-89 game or something that went right down to a final shot. And then he has, you know, he draws Loyola, who's, you know, a top 10 KenPom team. Then he draws Houston, who's number five. They're a five seed and they're number five on KenPom. And they're just draws an Arkansas team with three NBA draft picks who beats Kansas the next round. He has to feel snake bit. No, he can't get in front of the mic and say, like, oh, man, I got some really bad tournament luck. You know, a tip in here, this and that. I might have had three runs on my resume. You can't say that because it sounds like excuses. But given an honest moment, like, let's be honest here. Like, you know, close games that come down to the wire, what he said the other night was right on. That it's like it's going to be one rebound. It's going to be one single play that decides these games. And so far his teams, his Stephen F. Austin team, his Oklahoma State team, his Illinois teams have just failed in that little moment. So here's hoping that there's a correction to that this year and there's a run.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, we talk about Purdue. I mean, they also probably feel quite snake bit as well. But I would argue, like, I went back and actually, I was working the other day. I like to put games on in the background when I'm writing. I actually put on the Fairleigh Dickinson game. They, like, full on lost that game.
Yeah.
Like, that was not like a weird bounce here or there. They just caught a break. They got beat in that game. And the same thing happened to St. Peter's 2 years ago. I mean, like, I feel like Illinois fans were nervous about the tournament. I'm nervous about the tournament. You're nervous about the tournament. But if I'm Purdue, like this is their team. Like, I think what Illinois is doing could potentially reach that level. I think they have the potential to meet it. Purdue has met it. Purdue is at that level of the great Illini teams of the Flying Illini and the Darren team. This is that team. This is that team that they have right now. But, like, if they don't get out of the screen, if they don't even, like, at this point, they have to make the Final Four.
Yep.
But, my God, can you imagine if they lose the second round?
Can you
imagine if they lose the second round? And that could happen. And so I think Underwood's strategy is actually not dissimilar from the Tony Bennett Virginia strategy, right? Just get in there every year. Have your good. Obviously, the offense is very different. But the strategy is have a good team every year.
Yep.
And one of these years, the ball's going to bounce your way. Now, the problem for that for Illinois is I feel like I've watched the ball not bounce their way a lot this year. Mm-hmm. And I don't actually think it's the ball not bouncing their way. I think they're not executing down the stretch. I think you can make an argument. The Purdue game, there were a couple, like, they didn't get some rebounds. I think that's that's what he's talking about.
Yep.
But, like, there were a couple of those. That one where, like, it bounced right to Jones. Yeah, it just bounced right to him. And it's like, okay, like that was a bad bounce.
Yep.
But, like, they did not get bad bounces in the Penn State game. They did not get bad bounces in the Michigan State game. They did not get bad, like, and in Maryland, they played bad.
Yes.
Like, they were lousy that game.
Yep.
I find, like, I have a hard time looking at this team. I can't put my finger on what it is, and I think part of it is just execution down the stretch, but I don't think there's anything like intrinsic or they don't care or something.
Yep.
And in fact, I think what Damask has done lately has been encouraging in that regard. But the reason they've lost these games is they have not executed. It's not like a weird, they got a bad call. It's not like the Miami tournament game.
Yes, yes.
Right? Like, it's like they didn't get a bad call. It's not like that Jones play. They blew the Penn State game. They blew the Michigan State game. Whether you want to say they blew the Northwestern game, that was such a good game, but they certainly had the opportunity to win that game and didn't execute. And so that, to me, is while I am empathetic to Underwood for having these teams that are good and not broken through, if you watch the end of those games, Illinois has not done things that they needed to do to win those games as opposed to doing everything. I mean, the Miami game to me, it still feels like a sliding doors loss.
Yes.
That one of all the tournaments, I mean, obviously Loyola is the worst one and the worst one ever. Yep. But that game you felt halfway through, this is not good. This is not like we need to turn on or they're not good. Also, Io played terrible that game. I feel like that's the thing you're not supposed to say, but Io was actually really lousy that game.
He says it. Which, so, yeah.
Yeah. And it's weird to say because Io was so rarely lousy. Clearly, he's not unclutch.
Yes.
But just like things happen, that Miami game was a crusher. Like that was they deserved to win that game.
Yep.
They played great. They should have won. Yep. And then. It's the Kentucky 84 game,
yep.
Right? Like that is stuff like that. That is the problem, but that's not what's happened with Illinois losing these games late this year. They have lost these games because they've stopped executing down the stretch. The Michigan State game, I would argue, Pitt State is a different level, mm-hmm. but that Michigan State road game, they should have won. They absolutely should have won that game. Yep. They were the better team in that game. I think someone had put up on Twitter of a picture of Izzo with 5 minutes left and Izzo when the game was over. Mm-hmm. And in 5 minutes left, he looked like, we're done.
Yep.
We're toast. I can't stand this team. And Illinois allowed them to get back in the game. And so that's what's worrisome to me about this team.
Yep. I think the interesting, like, it's both, right? Like, Illinois has... The Nebraska game, nearly, 9-point lead with 4 minutes left, went to overtime. All these games where there's late game, you can even point to Purdue. We had a 2-point lead with 3:20 left in this game, and then Purdue went on a run. Penn State, everything else. The losses are like that. On the flip side, Illinois hasn't been blown out. I've been monitoring this stat of, like, one of, like, four teams now that haven't lost a game by double digits, like, in the game with Tennessee, in the game with Marquette. All of these, had a lead on Tennessee. It's just weird to me that every time I think, like, maybe they don't have the moxie or something, to lose 8-0 run by Penn State in the last 35 seconds, like, that's a team that's on that team for melting down. And then you think, no, they've hung with everybody, even the great teams, even at Tennessee, who's, top five team, might get a one seed kind of thing. They belonged on that court and hung in someone else's arena for 40 minutes. And
I was at that game. I was at that game, and they were spooked. Like, Tennessee was scared in that game. Like the fans, until they started calling a million fouls.
Yes.
And I think that's part of it. I think that's a thing with this team. The free throw shooting's gotten a little bit better, but and I think part of the offense is built around getting fouls, right? That's a big part of the offense.
Sure.
And so I understand that, but I do think that, like, that Tennessee game is a great example. Purdue was a great example of it too. Like, a game that was called relatively cleanly in the first half, and then when they called a bunch of fouls in the second half, Illinois kind of lost a little offensive rhythm, lost it, and were more prone to, if they have a drought, the other team run away. And I wonder if that's part of it too. This team is so built around offense that all it takes is one drought, mm-hmm. and the other team's on a run. Yep. It's frankly the same thing that happened in the Wisconsin game in the opposite direction.
Yep.
Illinois finally got like three or four stops in a row, and because they were scoring every time down the court, that was enough. And I think that's what's happened down the stretch is the defense has been not as great, not that great, but it's really not usually that great. It's when they get these little funks. And I think you saw it in the Purdue game. Purdue was the first time I thought, okay, I don't love Underwood's rotations right now.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of that game, mm-hmm. I was really surprised to see Goody in.
I was too.
Very surprised to there, particularly because I think Goody's, like, it's not like Goody had done a bunch in that game to come back from the break. Like, he's mm-hmm. been kind of out of the circle there for a while. And also, Guerrier was playing really, I thought it was one of the best Guerrier games in a month or so.
Yep.
And I think Harmon was kind of off from the get-go on Friday. And I do think, listen, it's so frustrating because you watch this offense. It is so one of the most fun things as someone that really appreciates the analytical bit of basketball now and see the direction of this, the way that offense is constructed. Apparently Tyler Underwood is a big part of this, mm-hmm. but the idea that you watch them hunt matchups, it's actually really fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually fun to, like, it's like a math problem where you watch, you see, okay, Damascus, that's who you're going after.
Mm-hmm.
Hawkins, that's where you're going after. I think it's one of the reasons that Shannon actually struggled a little bit against Purdue. There was no obvious matchup guy for him, the way that there was for Dask and the way there was for Hawkins. So that's a really fun thing to have happen. The problem is that I found myself even in that game when they were up by seven, like, okay, you guys need to build this to 13 because that drought's coming.
Yes.
And I think that's part of it too. We get caught up in what's happening down the stretch, but like a lot of times that 7-point lead could have been 13 at one point and didn't. Yep. And because of that, when they go on their run, suddenly they're not down by six, they're ahead.
Yep. Do you, I hesitate to even want to talk about it, but like, what do you think the, I'll just say it. If we fail to get to the Sweet 16 this year, I mean, that kind of starts to cement the tournament thing, right? Like, I feel like there's still one more pass left after last year of like, look, the tournament's it's a nightmare with matchups and who knows, and you know, this is why the NBA does 7-game series, because basketball, a bad team can beat a good team on any night. This may have just been a run of those games, but I feel like this year, I just wrote about the other night, you know, in the way that Purdue is Final Four or bust, a loss in the Elite Eight is devastating to Purdue. It's not, oh, that was a great season. It was, that was our chance to finally, after 44 years, get to the Final Four. You know, they haven't been since 1980. I think this is Sweet 16 or bust for Underwood's, at least to keep that conversation, because if you're listening to Norlander and Parrish in next November and we lose in the round of 32 this year, when they talk about Underwood, it's all they're going to say.
Yeah.
It feels like it's a must.
Or they won't mention them at all, which I think is actually the larger issue.
Yes.
And I think that, I think you're right. And I also think it's worth noting that, obviously they did a terrific job in the portal this offseason. It's impossible to imagine this team without Damask. But I mean, listen, Gary carried them for a considerable period of time. Harmon, as bad as he was against Purdue, has had huge moments. It's just hard to imagine, like, they hit almost exactly the way you'd want them to hit in the portal. Mm-hmm. They didn't the year before. Mm-hmm. And listen, the murky world of NIL is always a little bit of a mystery, but it is generally understood nationally that Illinois very much outpunches its weight NIL-wise. And so I think that's going to help. But there's a ton of people leaving. This is going to be a very, very different team next year. Yep. And I think I try to imagine how different the construction of that team, and that really is what it is a construction. Like, you are building really from almost the ground up. I mean, I like the idea of DGL and Hansberry, but I hope DGL here.
Yes.
I mean, I think Hansberry, I feel more confident about Hansberry, but I also felt very confident about Epps. And he left. So you never know. And this is not to, just to be very clear, I'm not blaming the players. Do whatever you want. Like, I hope you stay at Illinois, but you do your thing. Like, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that, like, I assume, like, Rogers, for example, seems like a guy, like, for all of his flaws, is a dude. We always look at him as like, oh, that's a 4-year guy. That's a 4-year guy.
Yep.
Unless, like, I don't know, maybe Izzo decides to finally break out the NIL stuff this year. And then he goes, man, like you never know is the point.
Yep.
And so you think about the context of what you're building and what's really going to be an offseason of dramatic upheaval one way or the other. I mean, for crying out loud, Danger could come back next year. If you were Danger, would you come back?
Yep.
I wouldn't. Yep. I wouldn't. And I say that out of love for Danger, he's been so much better lately. But, like, dude, he could go to Minnesota.
Yep.
And, like, make a second all Big Ten team next year.
Yeah.
And so I think that, like, the context of what happens if you get to the Sweet 16 and then have to reconstruct, or you don't get to the Sweet 16 and have to reconstruct, not just an article of faith, but, like, listen, you always hear, I always find it strange that every offseason you hear a lot of, like, well, it's somewhere. And I feel like that's really just because he left Oklahoma State after 1 year. I think they'll just, like, reputation stuff. I think he's clearly been here long enough to be able to understand it. But I will say, if I am Underwood and I don't make the Sweet 16 this year, I've completely rejuvenated this entire Illinois program, and people are going to be so mad at me.
Yep.
People are going to be so mad at me if I don't make the Sweet 16 this year. I can see him doing a Shaka Smart. And I can see him doing something like that, going to a place and be like, you know what, look what I did for you guys. Do you remember what it was?
Sure.
Do you remember my first game when we lost at EIU?
Yes.
Do you remember that game?
Yes.
Look where we are now. Look where we are now. And you're still so angry with me because of like, part, I'm not saying it's entirely not Underwood's fault. I think there have been mistakes. I think there were no adjustments to be made in the Loyola game. Everything went wrong that game, but it went wrong in a way you're like, oh, I see how this went wrong. It's not like they just missed every, like, Loyola got hot and Illinois couldn't do anything. They got beat in that game. Yep. And I think that's partly from the way the team was constructed and they didn't have a plan B. And I think that's something that he's got to answer. But I can certainly, the whole way this program is constructed moving forward is, and particularly, as you know, as you wrote in the 2017 piece, it's so much harder to get these coaching hires right than people think it is.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I think the not just how we feel about it, but what the pressure on Underwood, how he reacts to the pressure, what they do next. I think it's everything. I really do.
Yeah. It's so strange to talk about next year. So, right, this feels like 1998 right now, right? Like, we had five senior starters in 98. That was the, you know, Kiwan had graduated in 97, but they still came back with the Matt Heldman, Kevin Turner, Jerry G., Brian Johnson, you know, that team. Jerry Hester had come back for a fifth
Brian
year.
Johnson, not Lucas, Brian Johnson.
Yes, Brian Johnson is walk-on turned scholarship older brother. And they won the Big Ten in 98. You know, the famous Bobby Knight going to check on his player, getting kicked out by Teddy Valentine game, and we locked up a Big Ten title. But then we all knew, like, okay, 99 is going to be a mess. We're bringing in, you know, we're bringing in Sergio McClain, and, you know, Marcus Griffin still isn't here yet. And what Lon had to work with in 99, I think we all knew after senior night in 98 that that team was just going to be bad. Look, Frankie wasn't ready yet. You know, Frankie was going to have to do a year of Prop 48, so he wasn't going to be able to play. So your star recruit has to sit out for a year. You just accepted it. It's still hard for me, all these years later, with the portal, seeing what we just did, to not look at next year like that. Like, in my mind, next year is like, okay, well, you're going to lose these five seniors. You might lose Goody, who walked on senior night. You could lose Danger and DJL, and you're going to have to bring seven guys from the portal plus these freshmen and rebuild it. You know, it's just still so hard for me to see. But sitting here a year, look, April 10th last year, I was just having this conversation with a friend over text. April 10th last year, we thought Shannon was gone. We thought Hawkins was gone.
Yep.
And we didn't know about any of the transfers yet. We knew of a team that would be Danger, Goody, the freshman coming in plus Sincere Harris.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we knew at the time. And now we are number 12. It's insane how much this changes. Like, as my friend was saying on the text, it's like, recruiting's pointless. Like you don't, we don't know anything. We know nothing. We used to know 95% on April 10th, 95% what's next year's team going to be. Now we know 30%. I mean, like, if Minnesota keeps everybody together, they're going to be pretty good next year. They've got a solid core, a bunch of juniors. They got better this year. They'll be pretty good if they all stay together. But you just don't know like that anymore. It just doesn't exist. It's so weird. It's just so strange to not be able to navigate year to year in college basketball.
And to me, this is a point in Underwood's favor, right? Like, even if they don't make the Sweet 16, an argument to in his favor is, guys, like, I want to see, I want to go back and find out what everybody said when Domask signed. Like, so we lose Epps and Sky Clark and we bring in some dude that didn't even make first team in the Missouri Valley. Like, that's who we're bringing in. And like, my God, can you imagine if we didn't have Domask on this team?
Yes.
And so, like, I trust him late more than I trust Shannon. Yeah. And I love Shannon.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I certainly trust Shannon, but like, Domask is that guy, you know? So I think that that is worth keeping in mind. I just don't know. Listen, noise is a soft factor, but the noise, if they don't make the Sweet 16, is going to be so overwhelming that while I do believe that Underwood will, like, we just saw it, right? We just saw it. We
a
just
nine
saw
seed,
it.
And he lost a bunch of guys and turned it into a
into a team that like that is number 12 in the country, and it still feels like they haven't hit their potential yet.
Yes,
like that, and it never got their point guard. Let's not forget that, by the way.
Yes.
Like that was the whole thing. Even people that were, even after Hawkins and Shannon comes back, even after they get the Mascara and all these guys, we were still watching that YouTube, being like, oh, he picked Baylor. He's with Jeff Goodman, and what's and he picks Bay, and what's his face?
You're talking about Ray J.
Ray J.
Yes.
Dennis.
Yeah.
Like I literally was watching that YouTube before I like went on my run and be like, all right, oh okay, so we still don't have a point guard, and like that was the universal understanding. It speaks incredibly well to Underwood that this offense looks like this without a point guard. That should be a point of faith that Illinois fans and nationally people have with Underwood. And they will have that with Underwood if they made the Sioux City.
Yeah.
And I think, it's not fair. It's totally not fair, but that is what college basketball is. The tournament is everything. And it has, and particularly for a place like Illinois, who, as we've established, does not win upset tournament games and does not break through in a lot of ways. We are scarred in this, and it's what is expected. It's what is expected. And if he doesn't get it, it's the, even though he clearly just showed mm-hmm. what he's able to do in the offseason with in the transfer portal, I think there'll be a lot of skepticism, and the noise is it could be overwhelming. I have to say, I particularly with as crazy as the carousel is going to be
mm-hmm.
this year.
Yep.
And he's been here a while, right? He's been here a while, and he's been great. And I'm explicit about this. I want Brad Underwood to stay the coach, even if they lose in the first round. I think he's earned my trust, and I believe eventually it's going to happen. But like this team is so much better than any of us thought it was going to be.
Yep.
Everybody is so angry about it all of the time. It's because they've not made that Sweet 16. And until that happens, I think that's going to stay the case.
Let me ask you. So you live in Athens, Georgia now.
Yeah.
So you are around the Georgia fan base. Your wife went to Georgia, right? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're around the Georgia fan base when they were like still before these two titles, when they were like, can't win the big one and this and that kind of thing. You know, compare it to that if you would. Like, I know it's not the same. It's not like we're setting up to win two back-to-back titles or anything like that. You know, Kirby built a monster there, but you at least lived through a Georgia fan base 7 years ago was known as the angry fan base online because, you know, they fell just short in the SEC championship game to Bama. They lost in that last second pass from Tua in the title game to Bama. And there was this, like, we'll never beat them and we're angry about everything and this and that. So tell me about that transition from that to, you know, what became.
Yeah, frankly, they became Red Sox fans is probably the best way to put it.
That's a good way to put it. Yep.
They went from we're never going to win the big game to no one else is ever going to win the big
yes.
game because we are incredible.
Yes.
And I think that, like, listen, I love this was the fun thing with Hunter Dickinson, right? Like the idea that Illinois was a team to be disliked.
Yes.
The idea that, like, you heard this a lot this year, that like Duke always complains about this, that they're always the team getting court stormed
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And like the idea that I think Illinois has come back enough to where other teams and other teams' fan bases are annoyed by Illinois, and it's awesome.
Yes.
And it's awesome. And I think Georgia fans feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that, like, no longer now it's Clemson that's that way.
Yes.
Now it's Alabama that way, the
yes.
same way that Georgia used to be to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difference and that's the shift. Mm-hmm. And listen, they also won two in a row and really could have won three. So, you know, and so I think that, like, obviously the scope of it is different, but I do think that thing, but listen, we're also so myopic about this stuff. Everything that we're talking about, Purdue is going through, but worse.
Yes.
Like, in all seriousness, like, we can't see it that way. But, like, can you imagine?
Oh my God!
If we had Loyola three straight years,
yes.
Like, that's what's happened to Purdue.
Yes.
They've had Loyola three straight years,
yep.
And so, and listen, I think Purdue is a great basketball school. Do I think historically Illinois should be better than Purdue? I do.
Yes.
I do think that. I think they did it on the Atlanta Enquirer podcast. They had Mike LaTulip on, and they were ranking the value of the jobs of all of those jobs and the Big Ten jobs. And basically, they said it was Michigan State, Indiana, and then maybe UCLA when they get, and then Illinois is the next one down, and then they had Purdue around the same spot.
Uh-huh.
I, because I'm an Illinois person, actually think that Illinois should be in that top tier.
Yep.
But that's because I remember the '80s. That's I remember the 80s, and I remember what should have been like, because that's what it was like in the 80s. Purdue thinks the same thing, but like Illinois has these great teams that have gone to the Final Four and have done those things. And so I know, I think everything I've said about the Sweet 16 is true, but it's more true for Purdue and the Final Four. Like, it will be like, I don't know what the hell they're going to do. Like, they're going to lose if something like that happens. And so I think that like it is, but my point is that it is when you get through it, and listen, it's different. Like, if Illinois wins the national championship this year, then we'll talk.
Yes, right,
like, because of course, if they make the Sweet 16, we're of course going to be like, okay, well, now it's time to make the Final Four.
Right,
like,
exactly.
There's going to be a next thing. Which, and then if they make the Final Four, we're like, well, now it's time to win one, because clearly, but you know, I think that that's a difference, though. I think there is a difference, because when I was at, I think of two of the most formative sports experience I've had in my lifetime. One was watching Georgia lose to Alabama in the national championship game off the Tua throw, and I wrote a piece about for Sports on Earth at the time. It was basically I explained it like I tried to write to my Georgia fan friends as if they'd recently been in a very serious car accident, that they're going to survive, but it's going to hurt for a long time, but eventually you're going to be okay, because you could see Kirby was going to get there. Like, you could see him, like, what he was building was, it was all set, and clearly it's happened. That contrast that with the North Carolina game. To me, the North Carolina game, as bad as Loyola was, North Carolina was worse. I think North Carolina was worse, because I was like, we may never get back here. Like, that freaking North Carolina team, that's not even North Carolina's team fans' favorite team that won a title that decade. Like, and I think they even, like, ended up under probation or something from around that time, which is fine. Nobody cares about that anymore. Nobody should. But the point is that, like, that was not a – like, you do not see people around North Carolina. People in Illinois like D. Brown in Io so much more than people from North Carolina like Shaw.
100%. Yes. I've always quoted the Illinois celebration for second place was 30,000 people in Memorial Stadium. North Carolina did not fill the Dean Dome for their trophy, bringing the trophy home. They had like 16,000 people. We had twice the number of people to celebrate a second place team than – did we win? I was with, I went to the Maryland game with a buddy of mine who's a UNC grad. And he'll have these moments of like, oh God, was that 09 Hansborough or 08? When did we? I'm like, shut up right now. You're confusing your title years.
Exactly.
Oh, was that 9? Oh, we did win in 9. Yeah, that's
and
right.
And they were good that year. Don't get me wrong. They were good that year. Like, it was basically Illinois and North Carolina were the best two teams.
But.
Like, that was not their beloved team. But so I've been watching that game. And when Luther missed the shot, which I think we all thought was going in. Like, I just assumed it was going. I could not believe it didn't go in. Like, I believe a lot of Illinois missed shots. Now, I could not believe that Luther had missed that shot. And when he missed that shot, that was when he realized, oh my God, we're going to lose. And this may have been our shot. Like, this may have been our shot. And that, to me, is the difference between Illinois basketball and Georgia football. That doesn't mean Illinois can't get to that level, but like, can't make it back to a championship game again. But like, when Georgia lost that game, it was like, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. They're going to do it. And then they did it like 3 years later. For Illinois, it feels like Illinois has to, we talked about the Sweet 16 thing. It feels like they have to keep building momentum. They have to keep building it and building it and building it. Listen, that season was, that was not an aberration. That was a lot of forward momentum and a lot of stuff coming together and being built to that moment. Clearly, that momentum was squandered after that season. But the idea, it's not like that team came out of nowhere. It's not like the Kofi Ayo team came out of nowhere. There was a clear build. And I know things are different in the transfer portal, but there's still a momentum of a program. There's still things going in a certain direction. There was a step back last year, but enough of a step forward this year that I think it's reasonable to have faith. But I think one of the reasons it feels so perilous for Illinois fans is we know what happens when we get close, because if you don't sustain it, if you don't hang on to it, if you drop the rope for a second, Georgia can drop the some more things to get back. They're always going to be able to recruit in a way that Illinois is not going to be. Like, Georgia is just their machine. And so you knew they were going to get there. Illinois, that's why it feels so perilous. It feels like, oh no, if we don't do it this year, we're going to freak out. We have to start over again.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's what I think we're not used to. The people that are not, don't remember being fans in the 80s, and not just the 80s, but the Hinson to Kruger to Self. Like that, those were like three great coaches.
Yep.
Like those are,
yep,
those are like three great, great coaches right there to have that chance. I was talking about this. I can't believe I took this long without talking about the Cardinals. But like the Cardinal fans are kind of going through this a little bit, right? They went from Whitey Herzog, mm-hmm, to Joe Torre, mm-hmm, to Tony La Russa, mm-hmm, like to Red Shane Deans in the middle of, as an interim guy. Like four Hall of Famers, bang, 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 bang.
Right.
And then they got Mike Dumb Dumb Matheny, and then everything fell apart. And so I think that like Illinois fans, we can appreciate that because we've seen what happened. We've seen we can drop the rope.
Yep.
And we've seen what happens when you drop the rope. You get like 15 years.
Yep. So remember Hunter Dickinson's comments at Big Ten Media Days in the summer or fall of 2021, where he was basically saying, like, Illinois fans are annoying. Like, they were good this year and last year, but who the hell is Illinois? It bothered us so much because deep down we knew he was right. Like, this is a kid who was 8 years old in 2006 or whatever he was, you know, that was maybe even younger than that, that had really never known Illinois basketball to be good. So, you know, there's this, I think that's part of everything we're discussing here, is that I think Illinois fans still have this, no, this is the program we were talking about. We're 14th all time in AP poll appearances. Like we have history here. We have five Final Fours. We have this many, you know, we're the best team, you know, between us or Oklahoma is the best team to never win at all. So I think that also plays into how we approach these things, is that we're still in like, no, you don't understand.
Right.
Forget the 2010s. This is a historic program. We are who we say we are, kind of thing.
But I would also argue we do back it up. Like, this is the second straight year I've been to watch Illinois play at Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
And until this year when Connecticut is right there, they've had the biggest fans the entire time. Like, Illinois brings it. Like, we travel. I've seen them in Vegas. And
yes,
they blow up in Vegas. Like, when I saw in the Vegas thing last year. Bro, how many videos did you see of people after they won that game in Vegas last year of Illinois fans, like, in the streets of Vegas going nuts? I mean, they do back it up. Like, it's not a fake thing. Like, you know, what are the things that a team needs? We, you know, what are the reasons that UCLA football, for example, is in such trouble? Is that, sure, they have Los Angeles and they have history, but they don't actually have dedicated fans. And I do think that makes a difference. One of the reasons, like, why is Illinois able to punch above its weight in NIL? Because people freaking love,
yes,
Illinois basketball.
Yes.
And I've long made the argument that, like, I have friends from, obviously, with U of I, and a lot of my friends were from Chicago, and they were always a little bewildered. Of course, I'm from Mattoon, I'm from downstate, and they were always like, wow, people love basketball so much more than football down here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, and my argument has always been, it's been because the games were on WCIA throughout the 80s, when the Illinois was at their absolute best. Every game was on WCIA Channel 3. No matter what, it was Dan Roan. Occasionally Tate would get on there.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, all the every single game was on television. And because of that, like, the area around Champaign, Illinois was the Yankees. For me growing,
yes,
up, Illinois was the Yankees.
Yes.
They were the Yankees. They were, like, it's difficult to overstate how big of a deal that was. In a similar way, people always talk about the Cardinals. KMOX had all of this area, and I bet all of these Cardinal fans. I think that's why Illinois basketball is so huge, particularly because it all happened around the same time that Illinois football was on probation and none of their games were on,
yes,
television.
Yes.
So I think that's another factor to this, too. And so I do not think, like, when Illinois fans get frustrated when people don't realize how big Illinois basketball is should be, I actually think they're right. Like, I don't think they're being delusional. I don't think they're not Nebraska football. Like, they're not Nebraska football. Nebraska football, it's not coming back. They can punch above their weight a little bit, But that it's still, you're never, no matter how much NIL money you have or how many people you can get out there, you're not going to get the top football recruits in the country to go hang out in the middle. I went to Lincoln for the first time last year. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful city. It's super hard to get to. Mm-hmm. It's like not a fun place to be, mm-hmm, if you're like a cool guy that can go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that Illinois basketball can still be that they're in the middle of a great recruiting base. All you need to do is, and you've got this fan base that shows up in Vegas. It's like that tournament. My dad has already carved out Thanksgiving week next year, mm-hmm, because when you watch those games on TV, I won't be going, unfortunately, but you will see there will be more Illinois fans than almost any other fan base. And it always surprises people. I remember the year where Weber's, like when Weber first got hired, I lived in New York, and Illinois played like Providence, mm-hmm, in the Garden, yep, and got smoked. Yep. I got absolutely smoked. I was like, what in the world? Who is this guy? Who's this yokel?
A few days before the funeral for Bill Self.
Exactly. And so I remember that game, but Illinois fans were huge. That team, it was Illinois fans everywhere, to the point where, like, Providence, which is just a train ride away from Madison Square Garden, we're like, where are all these people? Illinois fans travel well because they love Illinois basketball. Mm-hmm. And I think that, and yes, there's a downside to that. And that downside is, hey, Underwood, it doesn't matter you've done so well. We're all mad at you because you haven't gotten the Sweet 16. Yep. But like, you can work with what Illinois has here. Yes. They have a fan base. They have a great fan base. They have, I would argue, a very smart athletic director who understands what Illinois sports should be and is working to make them happen. I'm not saying everything Whitman has done is perfect, but he understands it. He understands, yep, what this place should be, and it strives for it. And that matters. That is important. And that's something that you can't, NIL can't paper over.
Yep.
A good geographic reason can't paper, region can't paper over.
Yep.
That's something Illinois fans have. And so, yeah, sure. He was certainly right. The idea, Illinois, he's 21 years old and he thinks that Illinois just got here.
Yep.
But they haven't. And I think we've seen the minute you got a team that's pretty good, they are,
yep,
they are everywhere. Fans are everywhere, and they're pushing hard. So I think if anything happens and there's a change at some point, this is going to be a desirable job. You always compare Illinois to North Carolina State, mm-hmm, and I understand what you're talking about with that, and that, like, yep, a lot of people from the outside. But I have to say, other than the fact that they've won championships, yep, unlike Illinois,
yeah. Yeah.
I think Illinois' ceiling is higher than that. I think Illinois, yep, is in basketball, yep, absolutely can be in that tier of the Michigan State, Indiana, UCLA tier. I think, yep, they absolutely can be, but they gotta get to the Sweet 16. Yes. Yes. They gotta, yes, get to the Sweet 16. It's gotta happen.
Yes. Okay. Final question, real quick. I know you gotta go. I won't ask you to predict what happens here, but how do you feel? Like, how do you feel going into this tournament with this team? How do you feel?
I feel better than I have the last two seasons going into the tournament. Mm-hmm. Not because they, like, last year, we're like, oh, they're gonna lose. Yeah. Like, yeah. It was turning, yeah, the wrong. Not only was it turning the wrong way, because listen, I was actually at both of their big wins last year, the one at the Garden and one in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And outside, after both those games, I was like, we're amazing.
Yes,
like,
yes,
we're gonna win the national championship.
Yes,
and it's funny. I was at the Florida Atlantic game this year, and while that wasn't as big as a win as those games were, you're like, I see it, and mm-hmm, I see. And when you look at this team, you can see a team that should make it to the Sweet 16. Like, you can see it. Like, I look at the other fours and five seeds, and Illinois is going to be a four seed. It certainly looks that way. Mm-hmm. None of those teams, Illinois can beat those teams. Yeah. Illinois can absolutely beat it. Like, am I worried about them against, honestly, we've seen them against Tennessee. We've seen them against Marquette. We've seen them against Purdue. They can compete with them. And if Illinois gets to the Sweet 16 and faces a Houston, it's going to be a hell of a lot different game than it was last time.
Totally.
That Houston. And so, you know, they have the hard part. The hard part is having a really good team. Now, there are issues, there are problems, there are flaws, and you need things to kind of fly right. But if you're telling me that this team with Damask, with Shannon, with Hawkins, and guys that just need to step up, right? Mm-hmm. You need to have that Guerrier game, mm-hmm. or you need to have that Rodgers game. We've seen Rodgers games.
Yep.
Like you need to, if you can see that game, if you see that game, I think they can beat anyone. But more to the point, I will take them. I wasn't sure. I didn't think they were going to beat Houston. They barely beat Chattanooga. Let's not forget, by the way, why they beat Chattanooga. Hawkins.
Yes.
Hawkins
yes.
is the reason that they won that game. Let's yes. not forget that that's the reason they won.
Yep.
I feel more like if they're going in against that Houston team, I think they win. Yeah. Any four or five, I think Illinois is better than that. That doesn't mean I think they're going to win, but I think they are better than any team they're going to face in the first two rounds, and have a base level that a lot of things have to go wrong for them to lose to a 13 seed. I do. I think a lot of things have to go wrong. Let's just hope it's not Akron. Can we make it not Akron?
Please have it not be Akron. Yes.
And I have no, and this is different. This is different than like, I hope they don't get self. Like it's different, but like, it's not like I have bad feelings about Gross or anything like that.
I don't think Gross has the storyline. Yep.
I just don't want it. I just want like a normal game against like a normal team.
Yes.
Like I want Western Kentucky. Except I want to win. But I want like Western Kentucky, right? I want that kind of team. I want Murray State from like 04. Like that's who I want. I don't want Akron.
Yep. Love it. Listen, thanks for doing this. Let's hope that all of this is put to bed in about 3 weeks, and we're all sitting around talking about our Sweet 16 matchup and whether we can get to the Elite Eight and dreaming about possibly getting to the Final Four. Let's just make that happen because I'm tired of this conversation.
And for what it's worth, I'm assuming will you be in Minneapolis?
I'll be at all of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will also be in Minneapolis. My son and I are taking his spring break trip, and we are going to Minneapolis. So we will be there. We went last year. I was actually there. He's a big fan of Milwaukee Bucks, so I took him to go see Giannis, who of course had a rest and relaxation day that day.
Of course.
So I said, that's okay. We'll just take a train to Chicago to see Illinois because they're not going to lose to Penn State three times.
On. You're not going to three in a row? No way.
Yeah. So we had such a good time even watching that actually really fun Penn State team beat Indiana, if you remember last year.
Yep.
That we are going. So any Illini fans that are out there that are doing any pregame stuff, let me know because my son and I, he's got his Domask jersey. I've got my throwbacks, and I'm ready. I'm pretty excited. Excellent. I'm really excited about this team. I hope to see you out there.
All right. We'll see you up there. Thanks for doing this.
Of course. Thanks, man.
All right. Take care.